What's going on, wrestling fans? Welcome into the show. I wanted to take some time out and talk to you today about my good friend Chris Carrs over at SwitchCustomApparel.com. Switch Custom Apparel is your one-stop shop for all your business and promotional needs. Chris is personally working with me to help build my t-shirt for this very podcast. Chris is an awesome guy to work with, and he can help you with any of your promotional, logo, or embroidery needs. Reach out to him on switchcustomapparel.com or reach out to me on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, and I will put you in touch with Chris. That is all for now. Let's get right to the show. What's going on, everyone? Welcome into Near Falls with D. Hall, a wrestling podcast. Here we go. Welcome to Near Falls with D. Hall. He's talking on bars and how they win it all. Yeah, it's Near Falls with D. Hall. The final takedown, the glory or the fall. So loosen up. Step on in, wrestle with the need to win. Talking Near Falls with D. Hall. Ready or not, he's here to run. What's going on, wrestling fans? Welcome into another edition of Near Falls with D. Hall, a wrestling podcast. Today, the featured guest is U16 director, Norwin head wrestling coach, Kyle Martin. But before we bring Kyle into the show, Mark, how you doing, brother?
Donnie, I'm doing great. Super excited about this one. Kyle has a crazy career. I can't wait to hear his story.
Absolutely. And, you know, he's super interesting and kind of watching. You know, obviously we've had Vince DeAugustine on already. And, you know, Vince was over at Norwin, then moved back over to Hempfield, and Kyle took over at Norwin. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this all ties together. As we dive into his story. But with all that being said, let's bring him into the show. Kyle, how you doing, man?
Not too bad. Thanks for having me. Really pumped up. Hope you guys are doing well.
I'm doing really good, man. I'm super excited to have you on. And, you know, what a exciting time. You know, you guys have Fargo right around the corner. I'm sure you're jacked up for that.
Oh, yeah. And then tonight's workout was phenomenal. Just got back, just showered up. We had Evan Henderson in the room. He's training. Ty Leidick was in there training. He's going to wrestle at Last Chance Qualifier next week. Drew Phipps was in the room. He had a couple other guys from the college level in there. Jared King, obviously. Yeah. My buddy growing up, he's helping us out at Norwin. It was fun. It was a fun room. And then we had a couple first-year guys never step foot on the mat tonight. So they got to see some high-level wrestling while they're just learning how to get in a stance. It was fun.
Very cool.
It was an awesome room for a Wednesday night in July, right?
Right. And you know, so you talk about one individual there, Jared King, who I've had on my podcast. We've had on our podcast, Mark, earlier. You know, that's Connellsville. Were you Connellsville through and through from the ground up?
Yeah. Yes. Me and Jared both were. I also have a few other assistants, Caton Smiley, who is just phenomenal with administrative stuff, which is great for me. I love being on the mat. I love coaching the technique. I love scrapping with the guys. Caton is great with that stuff. He's Connellsville through and through. Eric McGinnis, who was in Georgia for a while and coached some of their national teams down there. He's up and back here now. He's on our staff. Donnie Doldies, our head junior high coach, who was at Connellsville through and through. So it's really, really cool that we brought that whole gang over. But Jared's been phenomenal. He's our strength and conditioning coach in the summer. We had, you know, 20 plus guys in the weight room from seventh grade up, and then they leave right from there to go up and roll around on the mats for an hour and a half. We do that. And then just having Jared in the room throughout the year really is very helpful. You guys know, you've talked to him, but you know all about Jared King.
He's absolutely
pretty good golfer too. Solid golfer, but
Tell me that. I might have to get his ass on the course and whoop him up. I love that.
Oh yeah. But we grew up together. He beat my head in high school. He's the reason I became a good wrestler. I was always about average. You know, won some things here and there, but whenever I regrettably, I got a little bit bigger in high school, and then I had to wrestle with him every day. And just he made me jump a level. So now right. I'm using him in our wrestling room, and he's helping our guys jump levels, and it's absolutely. A blast.
Absolutely. And you talk about your early years at Connellsville. What was it like kind of growing up in that tough, gritty Connellsville town?
Just like you said, you almost had to be tough and gritty. You know, it took me forever to realize, you know, education's unbelievably important. I always loved wrestling. I played some baseball, played some football, ran some cross country and stuff like that. But the only thing that really stuck was wrestling. My dad was very important with that. Jared's dad was unbelievably important with that. They were our JO coaches. And then they kind of stuck with us throughout. And it's a hardworking town. You know, we might not get like the accolades like North Allegheny, the Pine Richlands and things like that, but it has its own character, its own kind of culture. And I'm very proud, I still teach in Connellsville. I love teaching history, love working with those kids. And I really get along with the Connellsville kids. I got a great relationship with them. And I think just from being from Connellsville, growing up in Connellsville, it's easy to relate to these guys. So it's neat. It's very neat.
So let's move back into your wrestling. You know, we're looking at your career here, man. You know, you kind of slowly build up, and then boom, senior year, you hit this level. You take second in the WPO and eighth in the state.
Right.
What changed? What was that breaking point, and what changed there? Was that the Jared King year?
No, the Jared King year was my sophomore year.
Okay, sophomore and a junior. So I noticed a big jump in your record there as well.
Yeah, and then I had like the toughest losses of my life. My junior year, I beat guys that year that placed pretty high at states. Had a couple tough losses. I always, you know, you never remember the matches you win,
right?
The ones that even to like now, and because of this, I'll think about this match tonight, right. Laying down in bed and won't sleep for another 2 hours about it. I'll be like, oh, I should have just picked top again.
Well, I'll tell you this, man. It's like everyone that comes on that they say this is like a therapy session. So spill your heart out, Kyle.
Yeah, this is, you know what? This is directly at you guys too, because it's West Allegheny.
Oh, here we go.
It's Bill Morissetti.
Oh no!
Worst loss, just like the most gut wrenching loss of my life. So the story is, I'm junior year, starting to like come into my own. Jared, you know, end of sophomore year, I'm starting to wrestle with Jared. He's a weight class or two heavier than me, and I'm just happy to get in on his legs at that point. Right. I start like stuff starts clicking for me. You know, it's freshman year, got some injuries, sophomore year got beat up a little bit, had some injuries. Now I'm healthy. I'm working out with Jared every day. We're going to the gym together. We're driving to the gym together to lift through the summer, and like great friend, and stuff starts clicking. And I never really had that confidence in myself. And I never really got that confidence as a wrestler. And it was always like, that's the thing that was missing now that I look back. But the time I got some confidence, I remember when people actually started talking about me, was Powerade. Going to Powerade, I think it was like a 7 seed. And, you know, I knock off the 2, knock off the 3 seed. That was Bill Morissetti. Never beat Bill Morissetti in my life. Always lost real tight to him. Beat him in the semis by a takedown. Go to the finals. I beat David Rella from Walsh in the finals, win Powerade. So now I'm like rolling. Things are rolling for me. I'm starting to do all the right things. And then we get to WPILs. I'm the 2 seed. He's the 3 seed. Get to the semifinals. I ride him out in the second period. It's still 0-0 going into the third. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I'm in really good shape here. I got hit with a stall warning. And this is amazing that I know all these details right now, because you guys are killing me. Third period, I go down. I'm like, all right, you know, I'll get out. I don't got to score. He's got to score, right? Well, he cuts me right off the whistle, right? He doesn't even waste time. Smart move by him. And we're wrestling. We're going well. He gets on a really good shot. And I'm trying to scramble out of it. He gets a takedown on the edge of the mat, probably like 30 seconds left in the match. I get out. I was always pretty good at getting out. Never really got rode out that much, which is an important piece of information for this match particularly. So I get out, and then we were both so just equal on our feet. It took somebody to make a mistake to get a takedown. He made a mistake in the Powerade semis. I made the mistake in the third period of WPILs. Going to overtime again. Nobody really gets close. We take some attempts. Nobody gets close. So it was the old rideout situation, right? You only got 30 seconds. I scored first, so I get choice. I look at my coach. It's Dirk Doldy, the legend, right? And he's even like, oh, you know, you wrote him out the whole second period, you know, fairly easily. Should we go top? But then in the back of your head, you're like, I got that stall warning. I don't want to lose on a stall warning. So I go down, right? Great idea. Nobody can ride me out, but nobody could ride me out for 2 minutes. He was able to ride me out for 30 seconds, and it was that nasty. I got to my feet fast. He dropped to a single, and I couldn't break his lock. He was in deep on a shot. I sprawled, and it was literally 25 seconds of me just fighting hips and trying to get a broken lock. Didn't get it. Man, did that crush me. I was that close to going to states, right? And I didn't recover well. After that match, I thought about that match every second in that hour break before I went into the Consi semi match. And it was a kid. I don't even know who it was. Wasn't even
was like, it Jacob Zoli?
What's that?
Was it Greensburg Salem kid?
Yeah, thanks. More nightmare.
Sorry, man. Yeah, sorry. While we're at it, dig the knife a little deeper.
Yeah, that's perfect. Ah, freaking knife in the back. But hey, same situation. I get out ahead of him, and I just start making all these mistakes. My head wasn't in it, and it was just one of those, the semi-slide, the dreaded semi-slide. So then I'm like, I was crushed. It's a crushing loss. That was the worst loss of my life. The irony is, it was in Norwin's high school gym. So every time we go into that gym, I look up at that freaking night on the wall, and I'm like, it was right underneath that night is where the worst loss of my life was. Worst loss ever. But then senior year, Jared was great with recovering. I went to states with him, like still bummed out for weeks because I was like, man, that was my chance to get to states. Junior year, that's when colleges are really going to start looking at you. So senior year, I turned it around. Thanks to the most part for Jared. My dad was great. Mark King was great. Dirt Doty was great to get me back into that grind of wrestling and competing. And then I get back into that semifinal match my senior year, and I'm like, I'm not making the same mistakes. I get into the ride out. This time I didn't score the first point. Kid goes bottom and I ride him out. But I get to states and do all that. But that was the worst loss of my life. But I had some opportunities with college. I couldn't really get healthy. I went to Slippery Rock, couldn't get healthy, had some elbow issues, had some neck issues, but then while I was there, they dropped the program. That's when they cut it. Then I had the decision to make, do I want to pay more money and go to Eastern Michigan, or do I just want to finish this teaching degree? And in my head at that point, I was like, I'm going to do, a year and a half of school, and I'm going to be done with school. And that obviously didn't happen either. I got 10 more years of that.
A year and a half of school. And this is what we got to get into, Kyle. You know, now that we talk about kind of your career and, before we get into school though, I got to talk to you about what was it like kind of hanging it up and leaving that love of wrestling and moving on to kind of your love of studies?
You know what? It's at the time, I don't think it was tough. I think it was a scenario where I was happy with my career. I didn't have like those demons where you got to go back and accomplish something. Now, looking back at it now, I feel like I could have done some things differently. And I feel like I probably had quite a bit left in the tank. But whatever happened, Fred Powell at Slippery Rock introduced me to coaching, and it just clicked. And I just realized, man, I'm way better at this than I am at actually wrestling. And shockingly, like throughout high school, I wasn't a great student. Got into college my first year and a half. I wasn't a great student. But then just stuff started clicking. I was like, history's cool. I like this. This is fun. This is interesting. And it just started clicking. And I tell my students now, like, I didn't read my first book cover to cover until I was a sophomore in college. So it's never too late, I guess, is the lesson there. But then getting into school, it's a whole different battle doing grad school. But, Gable says that once you've wrestled, everything else is easy. Yeah, that's true. Even working through grad school and working through a PhD and writing a dissertation and all that stuff, like, it's a grind. Without a doubt, it's a grind. It's tough. It takes a lot of time. But wrestling made me a little bit more able to adapt to tough situations. I think that's one of the most valuable things about wrestling. And that's why I love the sport. And I want to share that with anybody that I can, because that's important. It's bigger than wrestling. It's a life thing.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And you talk about kind of just bringing your wrestling intensity into your studies. obviously, man, you found a love to your studies. Mr. Dr. Kyle Martin, why was that so important? And why, you know, we looked on your list of accomplishments in the studies. You know, you went to California, University of Pennsylvania, or no, Slippery Rock, right?
First, and then I finished my degree at Cal U. Mm-hmm. Then I got a principal certificate. Then I got a master's.
Yeah. And I went to Arizona State, right?
Yeah, I went to Arizona State for a couple summers to get another master's. And then I started taking classes at Pitt. And I was never like, I'm going to go and get a PhD. And it just started happening. And I give a lot of credit, believe it or not, to wrestling, and specifically Mike Clayton. He's the manager of USA Wrestling's National Coaches Education Program. So in 2015, I was an assistant coach at Connorsville. Me and Jared King were both helping out there. They had a coaching change at the varsity level. We decided, you know, take our opportunities elsewhere. And I thought, I don't know if I'm going to coach right now, maybe take some time to focus on grad work, focus on teaching. But it didn't last long. I think about 2 weeks later, Penn State Fayette's coach, Jerry Simon, had their program started, and we had a couple guys that I knew that were there. And I was like, oh, you know, that's neat. It's NCAA, but it's still wrestling, and it's at the college level. It'll be fun. But the most important thing I did is I was like, okay, I'm bronze certified for Fargo to coach the national team, but I never bought into the coaches ed program. So that year I emailed Mike Clayton. I was like, all right, I want to start getting into my silver and see what I can get from this. And whatever happened, whatever he did with my mentality and approach and attitude for wrestling, it sparked some sort of fire that has not gone out yet. And it didn't just spark wrestling mentality. It sparked that, you know, if you want to be a better person and you want to make changes, not only in the sport, but just in society and our civilization, you have to learn. If you want to be at the forefront of anything, you have to learn. And that's where it really clicked. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to work on my master's in history. I already had a master's. But I was like, I'm going to challenge myself, get this master's in history. And then after that, it's like, what's the next thing? And that's, and I always relate it back to wrestling. When you accomplish something, all right, great. What's the next thing? You can never be stagnant. You never want to be stagnant. You don't want to find that plateau where you're like, okay, I'm happy with where I am. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just for me, it always seems like, what's the next thing that I can get better at? And with wrestling, it's even more important for me. And even as a teacher, it's important for me because in the long, long run of this, the big scheme, I'm not important. As a coach, I'm not important. As a teacher, I'm not important. It's our athletes. It's our students. They are the absolute most important thing about everything that I am. So if I can become a better coach, I'm going to do it. Not for me. It's for my athletes. If I can become a better teacher, it's not for me. It's for my students. Because the better I am, the better their experience is, the more that they can make out of their life, hopefully. And that's kind of the motivation and the passion that I have for it. The big thing that Coach Clayton pushed and I just bought into is this, the ego. And man, it will hinder you more than you can think. And I still struggle with it sometimes, but as long as I can and put my ego aside and know that there's way bigger things than me feeling good about myself or, you know, getting any accomplishment or doing anything like that, it's secondary to our athletes. It's secondary to our students. And that's kind of where I am in my learning process. So I finished my PhD in March and I literally, about a month after, I was like, okay, so what's next? And I've already started looking, at different programs of like maybe other master's degrees or certificates that might help. So I don't know what I'll do next. We'll figure it out as we go.
Right. I love it. And you know, it's always about what the next thing, but you know, you're always challenging yourself. And you talk with such passion about your kids and your student athletes and your students first. You know, so you became the PA national team coach in 2009, correct?
So I was on staff in 2009. I didn't really have responsibilities. I would just go out to Fargo camp, help with the duels team. Right. I got a leadership position in 2016, where I was actually getting some responsibility with the national teams. In 2018, I became the cadet director. I take a lot of pride in that.
That like, man? And that's super cool. You know, you're helping with the U16 team, and that's a really big thing. And Greco-Roman and freestyle, very, very, very cool.
Absolutely, absolutely. And in the last 5 years, I've been able to get to the Olympic Training Center 2-3 times a year for development camps, and just being in the room with John Smith, Terry Brands, Kevin Jackson, all these legends, and I just get to talk with them, pick their brains. Like I've learned more in a 40-minute or even a 20-minute sauna session after a practice in a sauna with Kevin Jackson, Jaden Cox, and Kamal Bey than I've had in maybe a year of coaching locally, just picking those guys' brains. But I take all of that and I try to, whatever works for us in Pennsylvania, we keep with it. Whatever doesn't, we throw it out and we try something new. But being in charge of the cadets, it's a blast. I've been able to work with a lot of college coaches with helping out Pennsylvania kids get exposure to them and getting their names out there, even some guys that are maybe under the radar. Always loved going to the duels, took pride in the duels. Sometimes it's tough to get our best guys on those rosters for scheduling conflicts or, some guys are beat up and Fargo's the big picture goal. And we, since I've been cadet director, we've won it as cadets for freestyle. We won it in 2018. We won it in 2019. I count 2020 because nobody beat us, but whatever.
No chance we would have. Yeah, no chance.
So then this year we're taking a great team. But Ohio's taking a great team. Minnesota has a solid team. Illinois has a solid team. So it's going to be fun. And I love that event. I love getting our guys prepared. Like I'm looking forward to Fargo camp to work on the finer tuned things that hopefully give us some edges in some of those close matches. It's a blast. I really enjoy that. And now just being in Norwin too, it was exciting to get a slew of those guys qualified to Fargo. We have five going to Fargo, and that's the most Norwin's ever had in a single season. I want to build on that. Next year I want more. And
right.
That we want more.
And now you talk about Norwin. How did that all come about, man? And why was that the right place for you to kind of say, all right, this is the program I want to stick my flag in? Obviously, you're doing big things that we were just talking about now, but Norwin's where you're sticking your flag. Why was that the right place for you?
So that's also an interesting story, right? For 5 years, I wasn't with Connorsville. I was working with Penn State Fayette, working with our cadets. I don't volunteer myself out to places. I don't want to ever step on toes. But if anybody ever asks, like they're like, oh, hey, do you want to come run a practice? I always accept that because I feel like even a little bit of help, no matter what, will help us as a state. And then that helps us hopefully develop guys to get to that senior level. Last year, 2020, Connorsville's position opened up. I applied for it. I was a finalist for it. I didn't get it. The following morning, Norwin called me. It was right before homeroom, actually. It was early in the morning. Norwin called me and they said, hey, we also have a position open. Why don't you come out and just check out the facilities and everything like that? So Caton Smiley was already coaching there. And I just gave him a call and I was like, hey, what's the scenario there? And he's like, man, it's a solid group of kids. You have a lot of support. It just, they need some consistency and they need, something that will help develop them for years and years. Coach DeAugustine was there. He's a phenomenal coach, but obviously his heart was at Hempfield, right? You can't say anything about that. Right.
So
he went back to Hempfield, that opportunity opened. And I even reached out to Coach DeAugustine. And we always were, whenever I was coaching at Connorsville, late 2000s, early teens, like me and him didn't like each other. We never talked to each other. We didn't know anything about each other, but we had those battles and we were just, and then after we started talking a little bit, I was like, man, this guy's very similar to me. Mm-hmm. And we actually get along pretty well. And I reached out to him. I was like, so what do you think of Norwin? And he goes, I think that would be fantastic. I think it'd be a great fit. And I go out, talk to Coach Phipps, who's nice to have as an assistant athletic director, right?
Kirk's yeah, down. Not bad, right?
Yeah, not bad. So they show me the facilities and they show me all this stuff. And they're like, listen, it's yours if you're interested in it. And I thought on it a few days and I was like, you know what? I've over the last several years have been picking up all this stuff, learning things on maybe how to build a program. I think this would be a nice place to try it. And the parents at Norwen, unbelievable support. Like it's incredible. I've never met such a supportive group of parents. The kids are phenomenal. They're engaged. They're sponges. They're there. They want to learn. They're in. They're bought in. And that comes from the leadership that existed prior, like John Altieri. What a phenomenal young man.
Bring him up. He wrestles like a grown college man. Right. The pace that he wrestles with and the intensity. He was my favorite person to watch this year.
Right.
Not in a Westlake anything. Like, what was it like coaching a guy like him?
So listen, going in as a head coach, I even talked to this with our assistants and even Jared King. I was like, man, you know, I have an idea for a program. I feel like if there's anybody that might fight it, you know, not want to buy in right away, it might be Altieri with, you know, he was a top six guy at States the year before.
Having success prior, right.
Yeah, he's already had success with it, but man, did he buy in immediately. And that constant pace, that, you know, looking to score in every position. Like we were comparing some of the stats from previous years on scoring. Man, he opened it up this year. And it was just, he bought into our system of being in unbelievable shape, wearing guys down, scoring every opportunity we can, pushing pace. And you know, I still feel if him and Wyatt, I've coached Wyatt on national teams before. I love Wyatt Henson. He's like the same mold, just tough, hard nose, after it all the time. I still feel if we wrestle him now 10 times, I think we can split it. I think we can go 5-5. I think we were starting to pinpoint some things. We took a hard loss at the regional tournament. Then we got the bad luck slam at the regional. But we had a game plan going in there that we put out in the state tournament. And John, to his credit, probably one of the most coachable kids I've ever been around. And he started to pick up the ideas of, you know, not needing us to transition him during a match. He started making adjustments through a match, and that just shows maturity. And he was able to do that. I think if we don't give up that takedown late in the first with Henson, I think it's a different match going into the third. You know, that tilt was huge. We were working on his tilt. We were working on his bottom work. Zach Earl from Clarion was very, very good with giving us some information on that stuff. And you know, it was great. And because Altieri bought in so quick, so did everybody else, because he was the leader in the room and they all bought in. The freshmen, the sophomores, the juniors, they all bought in. And it was like the smoothest transition. And that's where I really felt like, man, this is where I want to be. Right. And so the Connorsville position opened up again. And I told Norwen I was here to build a program and I would never go back on that. I like to think my word's solid. I told those guys, like, we're staying, we're in this for the long run. We want to develop Olympians here. We want senior athletes coming out of Norwen High School and hopefully in Westmoreland County and hopefully in Southwestern PA and building it up. We had Bo Bassett and some of the McCourt guys come in last week to work out. Like, we want our place to be a hub of where we develop high level athletes. I mean, like with guys that we got in the room with Jared King coming in, with Drew Phipps coming in now, Lydic, it's going to happen. It's a matter of time.
You don't really have a choice, right? With the with the group of guys that you're rolling around there with. And another guy that I want to talk about, you know, Chase Kranitz is another kid that is just an unbelievable kid. What's it like, you know, not only to watch him wrestle, but he's a hell of a baseball player too.
Man, does he throw some smoke.
Yes, right? He does.
He throws smoke. I'll tell you this story early on in the year. I still get on the mat and I can go with these guys. And I was like, man, Altieri's fast, but I can outpower him a little bit. Right. Mm-hmm. I've never had a kid get to my leg and then just suck it in with just such ease as I did with Kranitz. Right. It's unbelievable, that kid's strength when he's extended, and man, like he had dog fights at the end of the year. He literally had some dogfights, and his mentality was able to get him through a lot of those matches. He won a 1-0 match. He rode some guys like a real man ride out. You got to ride a guy for 2 minutes. And we worked top a lot in the room. And Altieri had some big time ride outs. He won a match 1-0 in the super regional. Kranitz, to get to States, won a match 1-0 because he rode a guy in the third. But Kranitz is just phenomenal athletically in pretty much every position. He was one scramble away from beating Condomitti in the first round.
Yeah.
So he was right there.
So, you know, moving on to kind of the future at Norwin, how's your team looking as you kind of move into the next year?
It is what it is. I don't put us anywhere. I just want us to develop. We have some young hammers. We have some great upperclassmen. We had a kid in sixth grade, Colton Klippa, took third in Greco Nationals at Kids Nationals.
Nice.
2 weeks ago. He took fifth in freestyle. He has a group of kids with him. They're coming to every lift. They're coming to every workout with us now.
Nice.
We got some fresh middle school guys that are just out trying it for the first time. I mean, we're building. I don't want to
build a culture.
Yeah, and that's what it is. Wins will come. I'm not real concerned about it. I don't have any goals for us as a program. I don't do that. My goals are whatever the team goals are. Whatever they want out of the sport, my job's to help them get there. I'm never going to say, "Oh, we got to win a section title. We got to win a WPIL title." That's not me. I want our guys to be successful in everything. Our mission is to develop Olympians in wrestling and Olympians in life. So whenever these guys leave, I don't care if they're 30 or 40. Hopefully we're still coaching by then. I'm there to help them. If they're working on a PhD and they're so dumb that they're like, "Oh, PhD sounds fun. Let's do it." I'm going to help them with it. If after their senior year, they want to get into the workforce and their education experience, that's fine. I want to help them find the job for them. I want to help them be successful in life and make the most out of it. But at the same time, with a John Altieri, I want him to be an NCAA champion. So if it takes me getting him in there in the summer and getting these guys like Evan Henderson tonight coming in, working out with them, I'm going to do everything I can for those guys. Even though he's out of the Norwin program, kind of, he's never out of it. Mm-hmm. It's like a gang. You're not out until you're dead.
Right.
I want it because in a few years, I want John Altieri to want to come back and coach. And I want Kranitz in a few years to come back and coach. But I want them to find success, whatever their definition of is in life. So I'll never say, we're going to be this, we're going to be that, because we don't know. So many things can happen. You guys know this sport's crazy. Injuries happen all the time. Mm-hmm. Kids find out the sport might not be for them, I failed this year as a coach. My goal every year as a program leader is I want 100% retention. I don't want to lose any wrestler. And we had some drop out, whether it was COVID, which was some of the reasoning. I need to do a better job of making that environment more comfortable for them so that they're like, "Okay, I know COVID's going on, but I still want to be in that room." So I got to do a better job at that. That's something I got to improve on. I want 100-man roster. At some point, we have a phenomenal female athlete. She won freestyle states at the women's division this summer. I want 10, 20 females on a team. I want us to compete in the women's levels too. I want wrestling to be a stimulus to success for everybody, whether it's their first year of wrestling or whether they're career wrestlers. I want them to be successful. And that's the goal with Norwin. It's not the titles. It's not, the championships that can come. And, it'll take time and it's going to take the work, but we're all up for it. We're all up for putting in that work and getting to that. But in the short term, we're going to do the day-to-day grind of making these athletes develop and find success in their own way. And that's what's the fun part of the sport. We had 20 guys wrestling freestyle Greco-Roman this summer. Norwin's never had more than 2 qualifiers to Fargo. We have 5, right? Next year, we have even more. We had some guys make the kids' nationals teams. We had dual team members. We want to do that.
Right.
the competitive edge, it's good for them.
Right.
It's good for them as just student athletes. And that's the whole gist of it. And that's why I coach. And that's why I want to get better as a coach, is because they're the most important people in the whole process.
Well, I'll tell you, Kyle, you can definitely tell your passion that you have for these kids and just the overall, you know, not once did you ever say for any of this, everything was for the kids. Nothing was for you or for any of your gain. Mark, do you have any other questions before we kind of do our last segment and wrap it up?
No, man, just definitely. I want to thank you for the time, and it's definitely been enlightening. I love the way your outlook on life. I don't know. I keep doing what you're doing. We're going to keep following you. We're fans.
I appreciate it. I'm fans of you guys too. You guys are great for the sport too. Anybody supporting the sport, man, it's great. It's the greatest sport on the planet.
Absolutely, absolutely, Kyle. And you know, this sport just it gives so many great moments. And we kind of have one last segment for you, Kyle, before we let you go. And you know, I do this with everyone, so don't feel like I'm picking on you. But I need your favorite near fall or pin that you've ever been a part of as a coach or as a wrestler.
Okay. Okay, perfect. First, we wrestled Moon this past year as our first match. Okay. And, you know, we did okay. But the first big match for us was Latrobe, right? And we had a freshman, AJ Hewitt, who, by the way, has not missed a weight training session since the season was over. And he has not missed a wrestling practice since the season was over. And this kid is jacked. But he was walking around at like 145 pounds. Sorry for him. John Altieri's 145, right?
Right.
So what we kept doing was bumping this kid to 152, right? And we just kept moving him around. And he loves it. He's just smiling, giggling, living his best life, right? So I remember going into Latrobe, and I remember looking at Latrobe's lineup, and I was like, man, they're very tough, right? I've coached with Vinny Kilcarry, who I love that kid. Right. Man, I love
him.
Yeah, such a monster. Excited to coach him up next week at Fargo. Mm-hmm. Hopefully bring him back a national title.
They go stop sign.
Oh yeah. And the Roth, like they got a good group of kids. And I was like, man, I don't know. I feel like we might get beat on here a little bit.
Right.
And my assistant's like, AJ Hewitt, he's gonna be the guy. He's gonna pull something big. And I go, I don't know. Cause I'd watch AJ in the room, and he's pretty sound technically. But I kept hearing about AJ whenever he would go out on the mat. He throws everything. All the technique goes out the door. And he's just trying to throw everybody on their head. And I was like, you know, whatever.
Right,
I haven't seen it, right? So he goes out, and it was pretty much a must-win match for him, right? Everybody was wrestling great. Everybody was doing their job. And I was like, man, we're in this match, right? And we needed him to win. And then we needed, obviously, Altieri to pull off a big win against Pletcher. But AJ Hewitt goes out, and I've never seen him hit a headlock in practice for the 3 weeks leading up to this dual meet. He goes out and he throws this headlock out of nowhere, like out of left field, throws this guy, throws him to his back, gets the takedown three backs. Then he gets reversed to his back. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I was like, oh no. Then they both stand up. I have no idea how this action happened. They both stand up, and then Hewitt throws like a lat pull. Lat throws him to his back and sticks the kid, right? And I was like, what? And just in that moment, I was like, oh, that's the moment of the year, right? That was one of the big things. So like as a coach, that was a big one for me. That was the biggest like near fall or then a fall.
Yeah.
And that was big because then, you know, that got the team pumped up. Then Altieri goes out there with a ball of steam and gets a major on Pletcher. And then Kranitz gets a big pin. And that was how we ended the match to pull out that win. But I was like, man, AJ Hewitt, a freshman, just coming out of nowhere. I think the kid he wrestled was maybe a junior, had a full beard, like manly man. And then Hewitt walks out just like smiling the whole time, just loving it. That was my favorite one. That was big time.
Very cool, Kyle. Very, very cool. And before we leave you go, do you have anything else for us?
Oh, no. Hey, thank you for everything that you guys do. I appreciate you guys doing this and supporting wrestling. Podcast is awesome. Always stay in touch. Let me know if there's anything I can do to help with anything. And go Knights.
Thanks,
go Team PA right now. This week it's Go Team PA.
Okay.
Absolutely.
We want a cadet national title next week.
Yes, sir. This week, Team PA. Then next week, and for then on, the nights until it's Team PA again.
Absolutely.
But Kyle, thank you so much for coming on. And thank you guys out there for listening to this edition of Near Falls with D-Hall. Enjoy your wrestling. Good night, guys.